Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
What's up, everybody? It's Ed Lover. Da-na-na-na. Listen, a lot of stuff to talk about today. I'm in the closet. That's why this is called the In the Closet Podcast. Huh? Y'all know what's going on today. Everybody gets it. It ain't no holding back on this podcast because I'm in my closet, I'm hot as fuck, and I'm angry. So get ready. It's time for Come On, Son, the podcast. What up, y'all? This is Ed Lover, oversaw by Combat Jack. It's time for In the Closet podcast. It's Come On, Son, the podcast. But I'm sitting in my closet. I'm hot as fuck. And I'm calling this the In the Closet podcast. I'm hot. It's my daughter's graduation day and her 23rd birthday today. It's my man Marvin Richburg, a.k.a. Minx. It's his birthday today. My flight got canceled last night. Because of the weather in New York City, they had me on a 728 flight this morning that would have gotten me there just in time for my damn daughter's graduation. That got canceled because of the weather, so I had to watch my daughter's graduation on streaming. The one fucking thing that I wanted was to go to my daughter's graduation. Summer is my baby. Summer turned 23 years old today. I wanted to be at Summer's graduation from Montclair State University. But I guess since she's going to get her master's degree, when she gets that, I'll have to show up for that one. But fucking Delta Airlines. I always jump on Delta. Delta, you've been so reliable up until this point. My flight last night was supposed to be at 8:46. I get on the plane. I knew it was raining like a motherfucker in New Jersey. I knew it. I had already said, listen, I think this shit's going to be delayed. Sit on the plane. They come and tell us that all the planes that's going into New York, New Jersey, two airports in New York, LaGuardia and Kennedy. New Jersey has Newark Airport, Newark International. Everybody's grounded. They'll come back on at 9:15 and tell us what's going on. While I'm sitting there, my phone goes, your flight has been delayed till 10:15. It's not even 9 o'clock yet, y'all. So then the pilot comes back on and tells us he has bad news. If all y'all have the app, you already got the alert. We're going to find out what this plane is doing at 10:15. But for your safety and your comfort, we're going to have to deplane everyone. So when I'm walking off the plane, got my bag. Thank God I ain't checked no bag because it's only an overnight trip for me because I had to be back. I got to do V103 every Saturday morning. So I had missed last Saturday from V103 because I was in Houston doing Houston Cigar Week. I had a great time. Thank you, Houston. Thank you, Spade Cigars. I'm getting off the plane with my bags. I didn't check anything, like I said. And while I'm deplaning, the pilot is telling somebody else, we'll get information at 10:15. This flight will probably not leave till after midnight if it goes out at all. Right at that minute, I said, that flight is not leaving. It's not going anywhere. It's not. Let me try to get another flight for the morning. I walk down. I'm trying to find somebody to help me at Delta. They're telling me I got to use the app or to rebook or whatever. As soon as I get outside, I'm sitting down waiting for my wife to pick me up, to take me back home. Bling, flight is canceled. Rebook me on a flight at 4:06 p.m. for today. If I didn't want to take that flight, I could try to find something else. But everything had to stop that would have gotten me into Newark way after the time for me to even get to my daughter's graduation. So I said, you know what? I'm going to call my man. I called my man. He tried to get me on other flights. I can get you on a flight, land you in Philly. Then you would have to drive from Philly. Mind you, I already had a rental car reserved in Newark. I can get you up to Westchester Airport, but then you're going to have to drive from Westchester into New Jersey, blah, 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 blah. I called my baby girl. I said, because of the weather, Daddy's not going to make it into your graduation. She understood. She was fine. Everything was cool. Everything was cool. Seven something this morning, I get an alert that my flight that they rebooked me on for 7 something in the morning was boarding, was getting ready to board or whatever. So I jumped up, got dressed real quick, still had the bags packed from last night. I don't live that far from the airport. I'm clear. Got there. Get on the plane. We get it ready to taxi back. Guess what? Flight got canceled because there's still bad weather in New York. You know what? Call my daughter. Daddy ain't going to make it. I heard you. I know you was in Cancun. You almost didn't get back from Cancun because of the weather. It's fucked up. You lost your phone. Get another phone. I'll pay for the phone. I had big things planned. I was going to bless you with some other stuff. I will still bless you with those, but it broke. I literally cried. I mean, I cry when I'm hurt. But I cried because I wanted to be there to see my little girl graduate. It's my last, my youngest child. I just wanted to see her walk across the stage. But thank God and thank you, Montclair State University, for streaming the graduation live. And I did get to see my daughter graduate, albeit that I was at home, but at least I saw it. And she's got 14 friends. And they went to Cheesecake Factory, and my wonderful ex-wife, Kim, and I are splitting the bill on that, and I'm still going to buy her while I was going to buy her. Anyway, she don't know. We got her a car. She's going to be super happy. So I just want to see my baby graduate. I got a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle 15 and a Behike 56 cigar, and I just wanted to drink that bottle and light that cigar in honor of my two girls that graduated this year. My daughter Jasmine got a master's degree in business administration. And my daughter got her BA in education and human services. She wants to be an athletic director one day. I'm proud of them. Super dumb proud. With all this fuckery going on in the world right now, I'm proud of my girls. I'm just proud that my girls from Tiffany to Summer, to Jasmine, to my son Zaire, they're all alive and doing well because the people in Uvalde, Texas can't even say the same thing. That's a small town, mostly Hispanic and Latino people. The police department is 40% of the budget of that town. And you mean to tell me that this young man was able to get into that school while the police were outside and did nothing? And there's a woman that drove 40 miles to that school, and she went in and got her two daughters, and the police stood outside and did nothing for over an hour? Come on, son. That's some fuck-ass shit. And all of these fucking dumbass politicians to have all of these reasons why there shouldn't be legislation on tougher gun control laws. Superducer Krista, Cam quotes, if you can find some of these dumbass Republican politicians in the shit that they said about why or the blame that they're putting on other things except better legislation and gun control. Play it for me.
Republicans on Capitol Hill are suggesting there's nothing that can be done to prevent these shootings, accusing others of politicizing the tragedy.
The truth of the matter is these people are going to commit these horrifying crimes, whether they have to use another weapon to do it with. they're going to figure out a way to do it.
I can't assure the American people there's any law we can pass to stop this shooting.
You know, inevitably, when there's a murder of this kind, you see politicians try to politicize it. You see Democrats and a lot of folks in the media whose immediate solution is to try to restrict the constitutional rights of law-abiding citizens.
Y'all hear that bullshit, man? I am a gun owner. I'm a proud gun owner. I have a lot of guns. But I'm mentally capable of owning a gun. And let me tell y'all something. Honestly, I have never been a gun owner when I was in New York City. Not legal. I have different guns come past my way from, you know, when I was a teenager on. But I wasn't a bad kid. I wasn't a street kid like that. I wasn't running around toting a gun all the time. People have given me guns. I have held guns for friends. Shit like that. But I was never a registered gun owner until I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and I found out how fucking easy it is to have a gun. If you live in Georgia and you have a valid driver's license and no felonies, you can have a gun. You can have as many guns as you want to. And what really scared me is the rhetoric, and I'm being 100% transparent with y'all right now. The insurrection scared me. The rhetoric, the we're taking back the election stuff scared me. So the first time I went and bought a gun at a gun show, it was a Taurus 9mm. And I was so shocked at how easy it was for me to get this weapon. To the point where I kind of stood around for a little while before I walked out of the gun show with the gun. I just wanted to go to the gun show to see what a gun show was like. I had never been to a gun show before. So I asked a brother in there, bro, how do you purchase a gun? He said, do you have a Georgia's driver's license? I was like, yeah. He said, you got any felonies? I said, no. He said, find the gun you want. They're going to do a little background on you. And you come out clean, you good to go. So I found the gun I wanted. I paid for the gun. I filled out the sheet. It's almost like a job application. I filled that out. It wasn't that much. And the person that sold me the gun showed me how to fill the parts out that I was supposed to fill out correctly. And then he did a background check on me real quick, and I was good. I swear this took less than a half an hour. And I had a weapon. So then I went and bought ammo. And then I had this stuff that I wanted, and I was like, wow. And I kind of walked around the gun show because I couldn't believe it was that easy. I was like, when I walk outside, I'm getting arrested. There's no way. And it was just that simple for me to own a weapon. Now, I'm a pretty sane dude. I'm not going to go shoot up a school. I got a weapon because I want to protect myself and my family. And that kind of stuff scared me. So after that, I joined the range. I started shooting and practicing at the range. I started going to the gun shows. And I seen that during that election, around that whole election period, around COVID, when everybody was getting paranoid and everybody was getting scared and all of this stuff was happening, there was a shortage on ammo like crazy, and gun sales went through the roof. So I started going to the gun shows. And I started walking around and I started noticing that there's a lot of us Black people at the gun shows. And that made me very proud that we were purchasing weapons to protect ourselves. So what I saw the white boys get, that's exactly the same shit I got. Okay, so now I have not one, but two AR-15s, a tactical shotgun, a 30-shot .22. I got handguns out of galore, Glock 9s. I got a lot of weapons in my house, a lot, stashed in different places. All legally owned. And then I went and got my concealed carry license. And then, lately, the governor says you can conceal carry. You don't need a license. But I still got my concealed carry license, which is good in other states. Nah, not New York. You can't bring it up there in New Jersey either. Okay, but I can travel from here to Charlotte, North Carolina, and conceal my weapon on my person. I can do that. It's so much bullshit going on in Atlanta. A lot of times when I'm pumping gas, my weapon is in my hand. But that whole insurrection and all that stuff scared me. But this is what's weird about Uvalde, Texas. Texas got an open carry gun law now too. Anybody can just have it. They're not doing mental background checks. They never did one on me or any of my other friends that I know. We're going to the range tomorrow to shoot. They didn't do nothing on me. And big up to Twista. I didn't know that Twista was that heavy into teaching, and he's an expert marksman. I didn't know that about Twista. Big up to Twista. And we'll get together one day, bro, and we'll let some rounds go. But my point is, the kid was 18 years old. 18 years old. He couldn't even drink. But you could go buy an assault rifle? Like, that's the, I'm not saying that people should not have weapons. What I'm saying is, you need to have a more thorough background check before you let somebody go in and purchase a weapon. This is the second worst school shooting in U.S. history. There's been over 1,000 mass shootings since 2012, I believe. Come on, son. And nothing's going to be done. Remember Sandy Hook in Connecticut? We all thought something was going to be done after that. They ain't do shit. Just yesterday, matter of fact, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, 4 people get shot in a hospital. My head is on a swivel right now. If I'm in Walmart, if I'm in anywhere, my head's on a swivel and I'm packing. I'm packing because I don't know what's going to go down. I don't know who's angry at what. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I know the cops ain't going to do shit right. Uvalde, Texas, the police department dropped the fucking ball. 100%. Come on, son. The fuck out of here with that bullshit. There's too much dumb shit going on. Johnny Depp won his case against Amber Heard. Amber Heard, come on, son. You the worst fake crier on the stand of anybody that I've seen since your man that's running around here thinking that he's a fucking superhero now that got off with the murder in Kenosha. I don't even want to talk. I don't want to say his name. Fuck him. You the worst crier on the stand since that dude right there. Like, I can't believe what kind of performance that you put on. This man sued you for defamation of character because you was trying to sue him. Y'all just had a bad marriage. Let this shit go. Like, come on, son. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. There's too much bullshit going on. Sometimes, man, with that Texas Uvalde case, that shit got me. Got me, hit me right in my soul. Because the police didn't do right by that. And the first thing that I thought of is how the fuck did dude get in the damn school. That's the first thing that I thought. Then they tried to blame it on the teacher, right? And the teacher was like, nah, I closed the door, but the door was supposed to click lock, but I guess the door didn't lock. He was outside for 12 minutes shooting and the police didn't show up. Where the fuck was y'all at? Come on, son. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit, man. You know what else is bullshit? Monique and D.L. Hughley. I saw it. At first, I didn't pay attention to it. And then they told me Monique was going off on D.L. Hughley. So I watched the video and I'm like, what is Monique going off on D.L. Hughley for? And then it was all about who was supposed to headline. And supposedly D.L., she had a contract that said she's supposed to headline. D.L. had a contract that said he was supposed to headline. She claims that D.L. told the promoter he's not going on. If Monique doesn't go out there and go on before him, that he's the king of comedy, blah, 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 blah. So Monique goes out on the stage and starts roasting D.L. Hughley, questioning the man's sexuality. His name, D.L. What does D.L. stand for? There's a lot of men running around here, blah. What kind of man would attack black women like that? He's a punk-ass bitch and his wife. His dog, Steve Harvey. Motherfuckers ain't got shit to do with what the beef was. And I love Mo and the whole nine yards. But that was too nasty. That was nasty to the point that you would have thought DL spit in your face off stage. DL comes back on his show and says, I never even had a conversation with Monique about the show. Or the lineup of the show. If she wasn't happy with it, why didn't she come and talk to me? And then he went on to say why, against his better judgment, he decided he wanted to work with Monique. And he's turned down other gigs with Monique because he doesn't like the way Monique acts or how she treat people when she's not satisfied. She didn't say anything about the promoter at all. She blamed everything on D.L. Hughley. Now they got a back and forth going on, and this is not good for stand-up comedy. And let me tell you a little bit about my life experience. I am not a 100% stand-up comedian all the time. I do stand-up comedy. I do take gigs when gigs come, but I don't live my entire life off of stand-up comedy. And I applaud any person out there that does. I applaud the Aries Spears and the Corey Holcomb's, God rest his. I mean, you know, they got beef too, but we'll get to that. But I applaud Corey and Ari and Kevin Hart that's made a name out of it for himself doing stand-up. Anybody that's been doing it, Monique, D.L. Hughley, Steve Harvey, that's been able to open up other doors for himself by being a stand-up comedian first and an actor and a host and all that stuff, radio personality second. That all started for him from stand-up comedy. The late, great Bernie Mac, who had a movie career and a television career because he's a stand-up comedian. Everybody that's it, white, black, my man Bill Burr, that used to do Caroline's Comedy when I used to host it. Leslie Jones, who used to stand in the back of Caroline's even when she wasn't booked and asked me for 5 minutes, who managed to become a movie star and one of the most unforgivable people on Saturday Night Live. Michael Che, all of them, I respect like a motherfucker. Chris Rock, I'll get to that later on. But all of them, Tony Rock, just if that's all you do, I respect that, because that's not all I do. I've always relied on my talent, personality, host, radio, TV, movies. All of that came from me. TV, movies, hosting, all that came before I became a stand-up comedian. And let me give you a little brief background on how and why I went out as a stand-up comedian. Mr. Rip Michaels from Wildin' Out. Rip said, Ed, you're funny. You need to start doing sets. I was scared to death. I said, Rip, I can't. He said, Ed, put together the same shit that you be talking about in between acts when you're hosting. Put it all together. Do a set. He helped me tremendously. I'll never front on Rip Michaels. He helped me tremendously to not be afraid to step out. Chris Rock helped me to find my voice and what's me and what's natural for me on stage. All of these people helped me. My cousin Talent helped me, taking me out on the Cousins of Comedy tour. Talent put bread in my pocket as a stand-up comedian. But I don't do this each day, every day, or depend on just that money. Sean Harvey, another one. Damon Williams. Y'all don't even know that Damon Williams was the person that was really hosting the Kings of Comedy, but he didn't make it to the movies. Damon Williams has his own club in Chicago. Hilarious brother. Always wants to book me when I have time. God bless each and every one of you stand-up comedians out there. What the fuck is going on that this stuff is starting to take precedence or comes bubbling to the surface when it was never there before? I was on a little mini tour with Rip Michaels, a couple of other funny comedians, Joe Torre, a lot of them. And I saw a conversation about the lineup that was presented to us for this tour and who wanted to go in what place and who wanted to go there. I was too new to really care. So wherever they put me in the lineup, I had about 10, 15 minutes. Wherever they put me in the lineup, it didn't matter to me. I was going to go out there and do the best that I can and hopefully make people laugh with my brand of comedy. I have seen the disagreements over who's going to close and who's not going to close. But one thing stuck out to me that Monique said, and if you can catch her rant, it's all over the internet. She said, I've been doing this for 32 years and I don't open for no fucking body. But you're Monique. That's D.L. Hughley. Two different brands of comedy, but both still funny as fuck. What difference does it make who goes before the other person? Now, sometimes there's just a matter of respect. Caroline's had me for the weekend doing a co-headlining with the late, great Paul Mooney. As a co-headliner, I know for sure that I'm going on before Paul Mooney. Paul Mooney got more time in the game than I got. Paul Mooney is a bigger name than I am. I have no problem. I didn't bitch. I didn't moan. I did my thing. I did about 40 minutes. And then, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Paul Mooney. Between them two, what is the... I can't even put my hands on it why this shit even came to fruition. I can't understand why Monique blamed DL for the fucking promoter. It's the promoter. If you had a contract and you are that adamant about headlining, then don't go on. Just don't go on. Say, hey, man, you breached the contract. I've done that before. I've been signed to go someplace and the dude breached the contract, breached the hotel wasn't paid for, got there, didn't have all my money. I'm not going on. I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. I didn't even go. I don't even go to the venue. I get on the next thing cooking and I go home because there's some shady, janky ass promoters out there. And if the promoter told you, Monique, that DL was not going to go on before you, why didn't you go have a conversation with DL? Like, see, promoters would gas you the fuck up, and now you went out there on that stage and tried to eviscerate him and attack this man's character. And that shouldn't have been a part of your show. Your show should have just been about you being funny. If you're going to cash the check, them people that came out there, they videotaped it and put it up. But I'm quite sure there's a lot of people out there like, why are you telling us this shit? Like, why are you going on DL? Like, I didn't pay for this shit. I paid to see you be funny because I think you're funny. I think you have a great personality. I think you're a fantastic talent. And then DL still went on behind you and still ripped. Like, that gives a big fucking come on, son, to me. You know, I hate to see two fucking veterans like that going at each other. It's just uncalled for. You know, I hate to see that. That shit bothered the shit out of me. They're those two outstanding black legendary comedians going at each other on stage like that. The fuck? What's going on? Come on, son. What's going on with these motherfucking hoochie daddy shorts? What's with this craze of men wearing these short-ass, short shorts? Now, I know the women like it. I know a lot of y'all might like it. But anything 5 inches above your knee, bro, I'm fucking sorry. There's certain things, like, I can't do as a grown man. Come on, son. I can't do the Hoochie Boys shorts, man. I can't do them. And I've seen a lot of these short sets that I really, really like. And then I pick up the shorts and I be like, them shits ain't long enough. I can't feel like I'm wearing a pair of swimming trunks outside. And then the pockets are shallow as a motherfucker. I got to have deep pockets on my shorts. Come on, son. I got to. I'll wear the basketball shorts. Like, I just got these shorts from this company that I love. It says Icon on the front. I think that's befitting to my status. I'm wearing those, but they come down to my knees. I can't fuck with them thigh joints, y'all. What are we doing now? Can somebody stand up for men being fucking men? Is that too much to ask for? Can we be men? Can we be fucking happy being men? Can women wear what women wear and men wear what the fuck men wear? In the LGBTQ community, wear what the fuck you want to wear. I don't give a fuck. But I'm talking about 100% masculine, gender identifying as men who respect whatever the fuck you want to do, however you want to do it, but goddammit, I'm standing on masculinity. Come on, son. I'm not wearing hoochie shorts. Dude, that's a problem right there. Right there. There's a problem because they call them shits hoochie shorts. hoochie shorts on men? Come on, son. The fuck out of here. Y'all want to hear this song? Y'all want this song to play when you walk down the street in them shorts? Play that shit. That hoochie mama, play that motherfucker right now. Men, this what you want to hear when you walking down the street in them shits?
Big booty hoes, help with it.
Fuck out of here with that bullshit. Too much bullshit going on. Them shorts? Hoochie daddy shorts? Fuck out of here with that bullshit. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it, man. You know what I miss? When I lived in L.A., I bought a Vespa scooter. Motherfuckers laughed at me until they found out how many of us had Vespa scooters, and we used to ride together 300, 400 deep. And they used to have Vespa scooter rallies, and it'd be old school Vespas and all kind of shit. I miss my Vespa right fucking now. When I moved from Jersey to Atlanta, I sold my Vespa. Why the fuck did I sell? Gas is out of control. They talking about August, $6, $7 a gallon. My Vespa would come in fucking handy right now. And people didn't know one thing about them Vespas. My Vespa would do 85. So I used to jump on the highway comfortably with my Vespa scooter. I don't know if I would do that down in the A, because y'all drive a little while, and I'll probably be having to call Morgan & Morgan or John Ford, the strong arm on the law, or somebody like that. Probably truck lady Amy Witherite, because get hit by a tractor trailer, I'd be fucked up. But there's enough side streets in Atlanta for me to get around comfortably on my damn Vespa scooter. So I would have just stayed on the side streets, but I would have saved a lot of money on fucking gas. $6, $7 a gallon? Come on, son. That means if it's $6 a gallon, that means even with my Costco card, it would be $5.89 a gallon? I got a 2022 Chevy Tahoe. Right now it's at $76, almost $80 a gallon. I mean, not a gallon, to fill up my truck. Come on, son. Get the fuck out of here. $6 to $7, son? Nah, son. I'm going to take a little break, and I'm going to come back with some more of the In the Closet podcast, because that's where I'm sitting at in my fucking closet, because my dog won't shut the fuck up downstairs. It's Come On, Son, the podcast. Come on, son. What the fuck is the deal? Come on, son.
COVID-19 moves fast, and now you can too. If you feel symptoms, even if they're mild, you should test fast. Test positive and at high risk for severe COVID-19? Then act fast with authorized oral treatments that can be taken at home and must be taken within 5 days from when symptoms begin. COVID-19 moves fast, and now you can too by asking your healthcare provider if an oral treatment is right for you. Learn about a treatment option at treatcv19.com. This message is sponsored by Pfizer.
This episode of Come On, Son, the podcast is brought to you by McDonald's. You know, it's an honor to be invited to a wedding, even more so when you're a part of that special day. It was the 1970s, and following a popular song of the day, Sheila got the best of Kenneth Love. McDonald's is a huge part of their lives, so naturally, that's where they got married. The owner let the young couple have the ceremony and reception there for a memorable and affordable day. Cheers to all the couples getting married this wedding season. I'm loving it.
Come on, son. What the fuck is the deal? Come on, son.
What up, y'all? I'm back. It's the In the Closet version of Come On, Son, the podcast. And everybody's getting a fucking business, including the United States government for not having Brittany Griner out of jail by now. Why do I feel like if that was Steph Curry, if that was Steve Kerr, or somebody like that, she would have been home already? It's almost 100 days, and Brittany Griner is still in Russia on some charge of what they say, what they saying that they found in her vape pipe? This is what they say. A lot of shit is what they say, until you find out the shit ain't true. What they say is bullshit. And I know right now we're on the Ukraine side of things, so we're not really cool with Russia, but we don't have ambassadors that can talk this shit out real quick and get this sister home. Brittany Griner is a black woman that wears dreadlocks that's gay, that's married to a woman. So she don't count? She's a human being. And the United States need to be doing a better job of working on getting Brittany Griner out. How come I'm not seeing Kamala Harris do shit about this? You're the vice president of the United States. I ask again, has anybody seen Kamala Harris? And what the fuck is she doing? And why did she deserve our vote? Please. It's quiet as a church mouse. I don't see her on no news program talking about shit. Nothing. Come on, son. Brittany Griner is still in there? If that was a white basketball player, any white basketball player, even fucking Luka Doncic, whatever his name is. I was getting ready to say Doncic because my old producer here in Atlanta when I first got here, one of my producers was named Doncic. Luka Doncic. If that was him, son. Come on, son. You already know what it is. They would have got Luka out, man. For real. The fuck is the deal with the young YSL Rico shit with Gunna and fucking Young Thug and the crew? Gunna's still in jail. They say Gunna ain't getting out till like 2023. If. They won't give them no bail. Young Slime Life. Wow. I don't know. I can't even really speak on that. All I can say, this shit looks shady to me. That's all I can say. I haven't seen any affidavits. I haven't seen any of the discovery that the state of Georgia has. I didn't even know. When I first saw it, when I saw Rico, I was like, oh, the feds got him? Then I found out the state of Georgia can press Rico charges on you. Wow. I didn't know the state of Georgia could do that. Well, you live and learn something every day, but I don't know too much about the shit. But I do know this, and I do understand this, that when you come from the hood, where they come from, it's hard to shake off that life once you become famous. Because the homies got certain expectations of you, and you're representing that. And it's hard to say, I don't want to represent that anymore. Like, I can't be friends with y'all niggas no more. That's hard. That's a hard thing to say. It's tough. And sometimes that representation can get you into some shit. You lose loved ones. You lose fam. Niggas get locked up and shit. And it's just that's just tough. It's tough. I feel for them brothers. I wish them brothers the best. They have been nothing but respectful to me, so I have nothing bad to say about Gunna or Thug. They've been nothing but super respectful to me. Yo, OG. Yo, my pops put me on to you when I was young. I used to watch you on TV Raps when I was a kid. Like, I learned about hip-hop watching you, OG. Nothing but love for you. What can I say bad about them brothers? Nothing. Let's not jump out the window and jump to conclusions. The government has been wrong on people fucking before. Plenty of times. So before we speak on it, before we condemn them, let's find out what's really going the fuck on. Before, because I don't trust the fucking government. Just because the government said they did something don't mean that it's 100% true. I don't trust them. Look how long Meek Mill was on probation for something that he didn't do, that they found out the cop was a fucking dirty-ass cop. And they had Meek Mill on probation for fucking ever in Philly, in Pennsylvania. Don't forget, Philadelphia is part of the state of Pennsylvania. So just because they said YSL is this, I don't know if that's true. I know what I feel sorry for, one of Young Thug's kids that lost his mother in that senseless bowling alley shooting, and now his pops is locked up. Fuck. It's crazy. Come on, son. I'm I'm not going to say nothing bad about them dudes because I don't know. And until anybody else out here really knows, I suggest that you shut the fuck up about it as well. What's up with Nick Saban hating? Do y'all know what NIL is? Name and likeness, right? Name, image, likeness. NIL. They call it NIL. Name, image, likeness. So players can make money now off their name, their image, and the likeness. The same shit the NCAA has been doing for years. Come on, son. I've been telling y'all, son, the NCAA ain't shit, son. Come on, son. They make mad money off the name, the image, and the likeness of these players. Billion-dollar organization is the NCAA. Lay down all of these rules. Sometimes they can't take $10 from somebody to eat when they hungry as a motherfucker. So now they can get their name, image, and likeness. They can get that money. So they can get endorsements from other people. Car dealerships, soup, anything, right? Stores, anything. If there's a local Dick's Sporting Goods or local McDonald's owner that wants to give this kid cash to endorse his McDonald's, they can take the money now. And fucking Nick Saban is pissed because Deion Sanders is at Jackson State and one of the top recruits in the country decided not to fuck with Alabama, but to go down and fuck with Deion Sanders. So he tried to throw Deion Sanders under the bus. He tried to throw Jimbo Fisher from Texas A&M under the bus by saying that they're paying these guys to come, or that they're setting up these NIL deals to entice players to come to their school. Nick Saban, if you expand, I'm fucking Roll Tide all day. But I'm also, come on, son. I have a clear view of shit. If you expect us to think that every fucking player that's come to Alabama to play for the Crimson Tide just came because they wanted to play for a great team like Alabama and a great coach like Nick Saban, please save the bullshit for somebody else. Don't feed me shit and tell me it's sugar. Somebody over that motherfucker was getting paid. Them kids are just smart enough to keep their mouth closed and to know what's up. Y'all got millionaire, billionaire boosters. Okay? Them kids is getting some fucking money. Fuck out of here, Nick Saban. Stop hating. Now that the HBCUs have an opportunity to compete, you want to fucking stand up there and hate. I lost a little bit of respect for you. Still love Alabama. Still Roll Tide when it comes to college football. But Nick Saban, I met you. You was a decent enough dude to me. But when you start fucking with my people, Deion Sanders, who ain't never had a harsh word for you at all, that puts you in the fuckboy category. So kill it, son. Fuck out of here with that bullshit. Gotta be fucking kidding me, man. Corey Holcomb and Ari Spears is beefing. I don't know why. I don't know why comedians want to beef. Come on, son, to both of y'all. Stop the shit. Just fight. If y'all gonna fight, fight. You both funny as a motherfucker. What are y'all beefing about? Come on, son. But before I get out of here on this in the closet version of Come on, son, the podcast, because it's fucking hot in this closet, I'm gonna say this. Did y'all see the little shit Jada Pinkett Smith did with this Red Table Talk? And then she spoke on the Oscar shit. And she was like, I hope that these two great gentlemen can reconcile. First of all, the shit would have never happened if it wasn't fucking for you. Okay, so kill me, miss me with the bullshit. Matter of fact, Super Producer Krista, play the part that Jada on the Red Table Talk talked about the Oscars. Play the shit.
About Oscar night, my deepest hope is that these two intelligent, capable men have an opportunity to heal, talk this out, and reconcile. The state of the world today, we need them both, and we all actually need one another more than ever. Until then, Will and I are continuing to do what we have done for the last 28 years, and that's keep figuring out this thing called life together. Thank you for listening.
See what I mean? The shit sounds like bullshit to me. I hate when, like I said before, when you're feeding me shit and telling me it's sugar. That whole statement was shit. At a time like now, what's going on in this world, we need these two men. No the fuck we don't. That's what's wrong with you rich motherfuckers. Y'all think somebody needs you. No, you need us. I have never been off that mindset. That's why when I meet people, and I'm not tooting my own horn right now, but I'm going to tell you what people tell me. You're so nice. You're so humble. I can't believe it. You know why I'm that way? Because I know without y'all, I ain't shit. I know if you don't support me, I ain't shit. Don't tell me we need Will Smith and we need Chris Rock right now. No, the fuck we don't. They need us. We have never needed Will Smith or Chris Rock. Not saying that they're not talented, but we don't need them. There are other talented people out there. There's a lot of talented people out there. Super talented. We don't need y'all at fucking all. Come on, son. You need us. You need the people to show up to your movies and your TV shows and your comedy shows. I'm glad Chris Rock ain't have nothing to do with that shit. He didn't say that. She said that. I hope they can reconcile. I hope they don't fucking reconcile. There's a time and a place for every fucking thing. And as a man and standing on the principles of a man, if you slap me on stage at the Oscars, there's no reconciliation ever. There's never another way that I can fuck with you. Because everybody knows what that means. You didn't put your hands up and say, yo, let's do it. You slapped me as if I was a child, as if I had done something so disgustingly wrong that you as a parent had to correct me over a fucking joke. So no, they shouldn't fucking reconcile and find common ground. No. Hell no. And did Will snap? Yeah, he snapped. But don't snap on me. That don't make it right because you had all this shit build up in you. Because you want to run around and take all of this shit and let your wife say whatever the fuck she want to say and have affairs and shit on you. And she's throwing it out there on her red table talk just to make money. You snap because of all the pressure that you've always felt about being a Mr. Nice Guy to go to the gym and work it out on the bag. But you have no right to snap out on me or Chris Rock or anybody else for that matter because of a fucking joke when the dude didn't even know your wife had alopecia. We need them. No, we don't. No, we don't. And I hope nobody that gets to the top of their craft, no matter what it is, ever thinks that the public fucking needs you. Because we don't. I know for a fact y'all don't need me. I see how quick people forget about the accomplishments that some of these artists made right after they died. It seems like we forget what have meant to the game. If there's no Heavy, there's no Biggie. Yeah, Biggie got more popular than Heavy, and Tupac was more popular. But we figure we narrow Biz Markie's accomplishments down, not we, but not real hip-hop heads, but the general public, to one fucking song. Like, that's the only song Biz Markie ever had. Like, Black Rob didn't ghostwrite for Diddy and shit like that. Like, his pen game didn't mean nothing. So when you gone, you gone. And it's over. A lot of these radio stations out here don't even fucking play Whitney Houston, one of the greatest voices ever. Like, she didn't mean shit. So don't tell me we need Will and Chris. No, we don't. Because there's plenty of other people out here that when you pass, they're going to take your fucking place. There's plenty of other comedians out here that is just as funny or funnier than Chris Rock. And I'm glad Chris ain't have nothing to do with saying that. That's not his statement. That was Jada's bullshit-ass statement to try to bring closure and try to get everybody reconciled. Chris Rock, please don't fucking reconcile. Don't. Hit him where it hurts, in his fucking pocket. Sue that motherfucker, because that's what I would have did. But first of all, we'd have been throwing hands. Or like Mike Epps said, when he turned around, I'd have jump kicked him in his fucking back. We'd have been throwing hands, but I applaud Chris, and I've said this before about on his professionalism, because I couldn't have did it. Couldn't have did it. Okay? So don't give me that bullshit. And everything you say for Red Table Talk, so you just using it to exploit your shit. Some bullshit, man. It's a fucking lot of bullshit. I'm getting the fuck out of this closet. That sounds funny right now. I'm coming out the closet because it's hot as fuck. I hope y'all enjoyed this episode of Come On, Son, the podcast. I got a celebration to go to. Happy 23rd birthday to my daughter, Summer. We'll be doing a virtual celebration with her. Happy birthday to my man, Marv Minx Richburg. God bless both of you on your birthdays. I'm Ed Lover. This is Come On, Son, the podcast. I'm getting the fuck out the closet. It's too hot. Until next week, God bless y'all. Come on, son. Fuck out of here with that bullshit.
Come on, son. What the fuck is the deal? Come on, son.
This Ed Lover podcast is being done in conjunction with Cigars International. Make sure you check out CigarsInternational.com for all your cigar needs.
This episode of Come On, Son, the podcast is produced, engineered, and edited by Cam Quotes and Krista Hayes. Recorded out of Atlanta, Georgia, this is an official Loudspeakers Network podcast brought to you by Ed Lover. Be sure to check out the return of Come On, Son, the web series exclusively on Patreon.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.